The church is God's institution for changing the world. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about God's plan for the local church.
We ought not to love ourselves to such a great degree that we do not love Jesus more. Now you listen to me this morning, and I'll tell you why Christians quit, and I'll tell you why preachers quit, and I'll tell you why people just kind of fizzle out from the Christian life. It is because we love this world. It is because we love ourselves more than we love Jesus Christ, and it's that simple.
The local New Testament church has been attacked, misunderstood, marginalized, and even reinvented. But the real local church, the institution Christ purchased with his own blood, is still God's plan for reaching the world and transforming lives. That is why we are in a series entitled Real Church. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to give us an understanding of how a real church should function and how we fit into God's eternal plan for changing the world. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with today's message from Acts chapter 2, entitled Real Fellowship.
We have a fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. It means a community or a partnership. And our fellowship is comprised of people who have Jesus Christ as their Lord, Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I like what one author said. He said, let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief companion. Let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief companion. Now, no doubt we'll have friends and gatherings during the holiday season, and certainly you should. Even if you have family who deny Jesus Christ, I believe you need to love them and honor your family and so forth. But your best acquaintances and friendships, your most edifying relationships, are going to be with those who have made Jesus Christ their chief companion. You see, saved people, people who know the Lord, fellowship one with another. And their commonality is their faith in Jesus Christ. We fellowship in prayer. We fellowship when we sing. We fellowship when we gather together. We fellowship last week around our missionaries and sending them to the foreign fields. We fellowship around the Lord's table, as we will tonight, observing the Lord's table. We fellowship in Bible study. And God says, I want your fellowship to always be a Christ-centered fellowship. I love the statement in your notes. It says, there is a Christian failure to distinguish between socializing and fellowshipping. Although socializing is often both a part of and the context of fellowship, it is possible to socialize without having fellowship. Socializing involves the sharing of human and earthly life. Christian fellowship, New Testament koinonia, involves the sharing of spiritual life. Don't misunderstand, socializing is a valuable asset to the church and necessary for a balanced life. But we have gone beyond giving socializing the place it deserves. We have become willing to accept it as a substitute for fellowship, almost cheating ourselves of the Christian birthright of true fellowship together. Maybe you've heard someone say, that church is really a social club. The statement that is being made is that what is going on there could be happening at the Elks or the Moose or the Boy Scouts. Because there's not a strong Bible message. There's not a true fellowship that's revolving around the person and the work and the mission of Jesus Christ. And while socializing is needed, and while the Boy Scouts are fun and other things of this nature may add benefit to our lives, the greatest need for the Christian is for fellowship with like-minded people who will stabilize your faith and who will sustain you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's God's design for the local New Testament church, that while your faith is under assault in this world, that your faith will be established in His church. And as churches dumb down the doctrine, and as churches emphasize mere socializing rather than true Christian fellowship, the church is weakened and Christians are not strengthened to do the work that they have been called to do. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. By the way, how many of you thank God for the blood that was shed for your sin? Amen. And because we have that common faith in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a fellowship one with another that is sweet and precious. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And by the way, don't ever sit in the church and say, well, you know, I'm just not sure that I belong here. I just don't know if I can fit. Why? They've been married 29 years and I've been married 29 times. Or they've been in church 25 years and this is my very first time and I just don't think I measure up. I want to tell you something. The only reason any of us are worthy to be here today is because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. None of us here are any better than the others. All of us are sinners who needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ shed His blood for our sin. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Your worth is based on your birth. And when you are born again through Jesus Christ, you're a part of the family of God. And you can enjoy the fellowship of the people of God. And how we thank God that saved people can fellowship one with another. And notice also, saved people will forsake ungodly socializing. Did you know that after you become a child of God, it's not God's will that you would continue fellowshipping in the same way or socializing in the same way that you did before Christ? Did you know that it's His will that you would be a part of a called out assembly of believers that belong to the Lord? Look at what it says in your notes, Ephesians 5:11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So 1 John says, you're a child of the light. I want you to walk in the light. And Ephesians says, I don't want you walking with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now that may be the old tavern you hang out at. That may be the old friends. That may be the old internet sites. I don't know what it means to you. I just know this, that now that you're a Christian, God wants you to stop socializing where you used to socialize and start fellowshipping with people that are going to help you go where you need to go. And that is the very basic step in becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ, in continuing on in Christian fellowship, praying to have Jesus as your Savior. Yes, that's a wonderful beginning. But now the journey is a journey of turning away from the unfruitful works of darkness and following the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 provides further information when it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? God says, hey, now that you're my child, I don't want you yoking together. I don't want you giving your allegiance to people who deny me. I want you to serve me and walk in the light with me. I want you to walk with people that are going to encourage you in this way with me. I once saw a Peanuts cartoon, and I get some of my better sermons out of the Peanuts cartoon section. And as I was reading through the Peanuts cartoon there, Lucy was walking around, and she was in a bad mood. And she said to Charlie Brown, she said, I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world. And Charlie Brown said, well, I thought you had inner peace. Lucy said, I do have inner peace, but I also have outer obnoxiousness. You ever get around somebody like that? I was driving behind a lady years ago, and she had a bumper sticker on her car. It said, another woman for world peace. And I thought, well, that's special. And as I got up a little closer to her, I looked inside the car. I'm telling you, there was music blaring out from the car. This woman was on the cell phone, and she was yelling and screaming at somebody. She wasn't smoking. She was eating a cigarette. I mean, she was just like this, you know, and on the phone and frustrated. And I thought, good night. There's another woman for world peace that doesn't have any right inside her car by her lonesome. Folks, I'm going to simply say that you can't be involved in the unfruitful works of darkness and really have inner peace. And God says, now that you're mine, now that you're saved, I want you to be edified and stabilized with people who are going to encourage you in the Lord, not places and people that are going to take you away from the things of the Lord. And so we're sustained because of Christ's presence in our life. But notice, secondly, we're sustained through Christ's body. Now, the body of Christ is the local church, and we saw that a few weeks ago. And we're reading here about a local church. And the Bible says that after they were saved and baptized, they were added unto this pre-existing group at Jerusalem, which is called the church at Jerusalem. And now the Bible says that they begin to fellowship with one another in this body of believers called the church. And I want you to know that God has designed the Christian life so that salvation is not from the church. Any church that says they can save your soul is blasphemous. They are usurping the place of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, only Jesus can wash our sins away. But the church, while it is not the giver of salvation, it is a sustaining place for someone that wants to grow in their faith. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said years ago, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude. But believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they have love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people." You see, God didn't design the Christian life for you to be like an angry bear up in the woods alone and going around frustrated. God said, no, I want to liken my people to sheep. They need me to be their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and they need to stay together. And whenever a little lamb gets 500 yards from the flock, the wolves are always circling and watching. And you show me a Christian that's not a part of a local New Testament church, I'll show you a Christian in trouble of losing the fellowship that should be so sweet to them, of endangering their marriage or their family, because they're not where God designed them to be in the local church. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:24, if you would. It says there, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." God says, hey, I think we need to encourage one another and provoke one another to love and to good works, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is coming again. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible says the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air. And friends, while we don't have time to preach an entire message on prophecy, I truly believe that we need to live our lives with this idea. I want to be faithful when Jesus comes again. I don't want to be off fooling around and out of church and out of fellowship with God, but I want to be growing stronger and stronger as I see that day approaching. And so our fellowship is sustained because it is with Christ. Our fellowship is sustained because it is with the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what one author said. He said, "Satan watches for those vessels that sail without a convoy." I want to say again, the local church was not our idea. It was God's idea. You read the Bible, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Ephesus. You see, God ordained churches to facilitate the Christian growth we're preaching about today. And when you enjoy Christian fellowship, three things are going to happen. First, your faith will be sustained. Secondly, your fellowship will be sustained. And then notice thirdly, your friendships will be strengthened. Your friendships will be strengthened. I'm going to close this morning's message with four quick thoughts on Christian fellowship and how it affects the friendships of the people of God. I want you to recognize that God's intention is that our relationships one with another would sharpen one another. Your relationships in life will either sharpen you or dull you. Your life is being sharpened right now by the people that you have friendships with, or your life is being dulled. You're being encouraged in your faith or discouraged from your faith. And so I want you to see four characteristics God wants in your marriage, four characteristics God wants in your Christian fellowship. The first way that we're going to strengthen one another is through honesty. God says, I want you to be honest in these relationships. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes in your adult Bible class, you might have a friend that comes up to you and they go, hey man, I've missed seeing you lately. And maybe you'll say something like, well, I've been sick and my wife was in the hospital. And maybe they'll say, man, I'm sorry to hear that. And how about if we can take you out to lunch next week, or what can we do to encourage you? And maybe they'll say something like that. Maybe they'll say, boy, I've missed seeing you lately. And maybe you'll say to them, well, I know. I've been over at St. Mary's playing bingo lately. And your friend might look at you and say, hey, now listen, You're not going to build a strong marriage playing bingo. And you need to get back to the house of God. And I'm glad you're here today. And you know, sometimes when someone says something like that to you, it might sting just a little bit. But the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes it's a sign of love when someone will just speak the truth to you. Fellas, isn't it a bummer when your wife's the one that's speaking the truth like that? You know she's right. And your wife says, you know, honey, you could probably deal with the kids this way. Or I sure wish we'd get back to church Sunday. I think that's really good for our family. Sometimes the honesty of a spouse is designed by God to help us live sharper and live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. A friendship that is strong in the Lord is built on honesty. Secondly, it's going to be built through dependability. Built through dependability. You know, the Bible speaks of this in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus says, I want you to love the way that I have loved. I want your love to be a dependable love. Now, I think about our young people, some 60 young people overseas from our church in the military today. And I know that many of them, when they come back, they're looking for you and they're looking for me. They're hoping to see us faithful in our place, dependable in our place. Our missionaries around the world, when they come back, they're looking for us. And God says that one of the characteristics of a strong friendship is we're dependable. Fellas, let me encourage you in your marriage. Elevate dependability by eliminating doubts. Be dependable. Be accountable in your marriage one with another. Have the kinds of Christian men and women in your life that are elevating dependability. We build strong relationships through honesty. Through dependability. Notice thirdly, through encouragement. You know, a lot of what the church is about is encouraging us in our faith. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17 these words, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. For several months, Brother Schmidt, our associate pastor, has been saying, Pastor, you need to have a Facebook account. And I'm like, oh man, that's one more thing to do. And I'm leery of the whole internet anyways. And a lot of it to me is just time wasting and gossip and so forth. I know there's a good side to it. I'm just old fashioned. I still like pencil and paper, if you know what I mean. Now, I use it all the time. Don't misunderstand me. But the fact is, it was just one more thing. And so we began to study that and so forth. And I found out that Facebook has 500 million users. By itself, Facebook would be the fifth largest nation in the world today. Those people. It's amazing to me. Most of you that are laughing are a part of that nation. I know. And last year, the largest growing group of users in Facebook were people ages 50 to 64. It started off in 2004 as just college kids being dumb, you know. Making their little profile, you know. By the way, if you're on that Facebook, make sure that your profile is distinctively Christian. Right? And Brother Schmidt was putting a profile for me. I said, tell them I'm a Baptist on there. You know, link it good to the church and the college make sure you're don't put something on there that someone might try to read between the line and make a pass at you. That's a whole other sermon, but how many of you know that's going to be a good sermon? I'm working on a new sermon called What's Your Profile? But what I didn't really understand about Facebook, and my son Matt said, Dad, you're going to say it wrong, so tell me after church, son. But it goes something like this. People can kind of send you a message that basically says, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Some people are offering prizes, and they're offering to do weird things if they get enough friends to sign up in a particular period of time. Now, I want you to stop and ponder that right now, say 200 million people somewhere in the world are asking another 200 million people somewhere in the world, would you be my friend? God created us with a desire to know and to fellowship and to be with others. And the devil will exploit that in the wrong way. But God says, hey, I do want you to have friends. I just want you to have the kind that sharpen you and make you better. Not the kind that ruin your marriage. Not the kind you drive to Ohio to meet. Not the kind that take you to the wrong places, but the kind that build strong friendships. Ecclesiastes speaks of it. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, Lancaster Baptist Church is not a place of perfect friends, but I can tell you this, it's a wonderful place to have a second chance. And if you've blown it or you haven't done so well in the last relationship, we're not here to condemn. We're here to help you get back up and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Honesty, dependability, encouragement. Fourthly, God says, I want you to have friendships that are built on acceptance. I want the church to be a place that's accepting people and loving people. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, some denominations are making a mistake. They're accepting the sins of people. They're ordaining homosexuals into the ministry. They're bringing all kinds of wicked entertainment onto the platform. We're not talking about condoning sin, but we are talking about loving sinners. We're talking about the fact that God wants His church to be a place where everybody can meet Jesus Christ and where everybody's life can be radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A friend loveth at all times. I like what Dale Carnegie said years ago. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 10 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And some of you today, I want to challenge you. In order to have friends, a man must show himself friendly. To look for opportunities to encourage others in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because real fellowship will stabilize our faith. And real fellowship will sustain all through the years. And real fellowship will strengthen friendships and marriages if it's around Christ, based on the principles of the doctrines and Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. And where does this real fellowship all begin? Go back as we close one more time to 1 John 1:7. It's there in your notes or look in your Bible. 1 John 1:7. And remember how we have this fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, someone might say, I don't deserve fellowship with all these people, and it's not based on what you deserve. Human logic says, I have to earn God's acceptance. But grace says, you're accepted through Jesus Christ because He shed His blood, not for the perfect, but for sinners who will come to Him in repentance. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You might be here this morning, you don't even know for sure that you are saved. You're not sure that you're a part of God's family. You've not enjoyed this type of fellowship. You say, Pastor Chapel, I mean, I believe in God and religion and all that in the pluralistic sense, in a secularized kind of way. But to really know that my sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, that I have a home in heaven someday, I'm not too sure about that. And I want you to know something. The Bible says in this same book, 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Did you hear that? That you may know that you have eternal life. And if you don't know that you have eternal life and you don't know that you're a part of God's fellowship, you can know that today by receiving Christ as your Savior and settling it once and for all. And listen now, if you know that Christ is in your life, then God's calling you away from simple socializing. You may have to go to an office party now and then, but God says that's not your future, that's your past. Your future is Christian fellowship. Your future is a faith that stabilizes. Your future is friends that sustain you. Your future is a marriage that matters. Your future is different because Jesus Christ is in your life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you today that the church provides real fellowship. And I pray this morning that we would not neglect that, but that we would apply these principles to our lives is my prayer.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Real Church. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chapel preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chapel.
If you ever wanted to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and visit the Holy Land, there's an amazing opportunity coming just for you on September 28th through October 7th, 2015. That's when I'll be leading a tour, along with Templeton Tours, for 10 days in the Holy Land that you will never forget. There's no better way to see the Holy Land than with Christian friends as we visit Mount Carmel, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, and a dozen other sites. For more information, contact Templeton Tours at 1-800-334-2630. That's 1-800-334-2630, or visit templetontours.com. This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people like you. To find out how you can be a part in sharing this good news, visit us at dailyintheword.org. By the way, if these messages are helping you, please remember to share them with your friends. The good news about Jesus is just too good to keep to yourself. If you go to dailyintheword.org, you can listen anytime, or you can download a message to share with your friends. I hope you'll pass on that good news today.
That was Pastor Paul Chappell with Daily in the Word. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books, including Out of Commission. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.